Continuing with our theme of abundance this week, I chose a scripture from a letter to the Philippians, and it's a message sent to the church in Philippi from Paul, telling them how grateful he is for their work, but also describing what he is experiencing in his life. And I think it describes very well this sense of abundance. So let's read from Philippians 4. I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess, happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You just had no chance to show it. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I've found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I don't mean that your help didn't mean a lot to me. It did. It was a beautiful thing that you came alongside me in my troubles. May God help us to take to heart this word from our Holy Scripture today. Imagine going through life in a constant state of well-being and contentment, satisfied with your circumstances, pretty much regardless of what they are. You somehow know that you are being cared for, and you know that if you have less today, you could have more tomorrow, or vice versa, so you don't worry about it. I think this is what Paul is expressing in this passage from Philippians, and it really, to me, characterizes an abundant life. Last week, I started a sermon series on abundance, which we are going to continue until the beginning of Lent in mid-February. So I started last week by reminding us of Jesus' assertion that he had come not only to show us what abundant life looked like, but to lead us into eternal and abundant life. If only he had clearly spelled that out for us, so we might know exactly what that looks like. He couldn't really do that, though, because it looks different for each one of us. So he taught us how to do that. And more importantly, he told us to follow him and he would show us the way. Certainly, whatever Jesus meant by eternal life, he didn't mean what comes after this life on earth, because he clearly stated that he came here to us on earth so that we might have eternal and abundant life in the here and now. Of course, the world is significantly different now than in Jesus and Paul's day. It is definitely more complicated and complex, and we think differently than they did then. So what does abundant life look like for us today? Well, in a word, it looks like enough. I asked someone this week what they thought abundance was, and their immediate response was more than enough. And that's what most people think abundance is. It might even be defined that way. And in some ways, it's good to think that for everyone, there is indeed more than enough. There is, however, this sense in that definition that we won't be happy until we have accumulated or experienced more than enough. And more than enough is hard to measure, because if we start thinking that we really don't have enough yet, we cannot be satisfied until somehow we have more than enough. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Not give us bread for the rest of our lives. Just give us today what we need, and we will trust God for tomorrow. Enough for today. Yet we've become a society that's not content with that. We're not happy with enough. We always want more. And yet, for many, the great complaint of our time seems to be, I've got too much on my plate. Too much. We definitely have more than enough. But perhaps we don't have enough of the things we really need. Presumably, we stack things on our plates because everything we place there gives us something that is necessary for the life we want, we desire. Presumably, we put things on our plate that give us abundant life, or so we think. It's only recently in history that we've come to desire things that weren't even possible that many years ago in a pre-industrial age. More security, more luxury, more fun, more travel, more fulfillment. We not only want it all, we may even think we deserve to have it all. And this has set Western society on a trajectory of always more, rather than leading us to that sense of enough, of abundance. In fact, this desire for more has decreased our satisfaction and sense of well-being. And while we are busy pursuing more, our pursuit of more is actually hampering other parts of the world from having enough. So perhaps abundance isn't what we think it is. I put a quote at the top of the order of service by Lao Tzu, which says, They who know enough is enough will always have enough. Abundance can be characterized by that sweet spot between scarcity and overabundance, and knowing when enough is enough. There are many in the world who live with scarcity, lack, and want. That is not abundance. And we who have an overabundance do have some responsibility to those who do not have enough. It's more difficult, perhaps, to discern when we stray into overabundance, which is equally as detrimental to our well-being as scarcity. Because it's not too long before the problems of not enough give way to problems of too much. For example, more food is good for those who are starving, but too much food is becoming a deadly problem for Westerners. Same with news. Some news is good, but too much news is hampering our mental states. We become anxious and fearful when we're always taking in the news, especially bad news. Again, some entertainment is relaxing and pleasurable, gives us a little break. But too much is making us lazy, unproductive, unmotivated, and unable to take initiative or to problem solve. The same idea around exercise and social engagements, possessions, work, technology. Enough is good. Too much is detrimental. We are a culture of excesses and have tipped over into the realm of overabundance, which will have the same effect as not enough or scarcity. The biggest problem with that is that when we pursue or attain an overabundance of some things, we are most likely creating scarcity in other areas of our lives, like time or relationships or our physical and mental health. And there is another problem in our culture related to overabundance that most of us don't see. Most of us are unaware that the source of our drive for more is a relentless, never-ending push for insatiable economic growth and material wealth by those who want to profit from creating in us an insatiable desire for more. And this drive will eventually deplete all of the resources we have on earth. To feed the machine of growth, whether we recognize it or not, we're constantly being cajoled to consume more, to do more, to take in more, watch more, be more, and work more. This push toward excess in all things is the environment we swim in, and unless we step back and become aware of it and do something to stop it, we will swim right along with others who never say enough. We have no sense of our own well-being or abundance when we are constantly being told that we need more of something, or compare ourselves to others who are trapped in the cycle of always seeking more. Because of the way our society sees abundance, we need to be constantly aware, limiting our intake or cutting out things we don't need so we can access the things we do need to live balanced lives, like relationships, purpose, mental health, optimism, rest, time for God, and whatever else will contribute to our sense of abundance. So how do we know what to remove from our plates? Well, take away anything that doesn't help us to be healthy and well. And that's individual for each one of us. So here's what I suggest you do. I asked you in the email that went out with a link to this service to have a piece of paper available and something to write with. If you don't have that now, you can pick that up later. But if you do have a piece of paper, what I want you to do is take it and draw on it a big circle. Now this is your plate. And on your plate, what I want you to do is write the things in your life that take up your time and energy, both the tangible and intangible things. Now you can do this for a week and keep adding to your plate all the things that you do that's taking up your physical, mental, emotional energy. For example, you might put on your plate television watching or social media, looking after your house, the technology you use, reading, work, spending time with family, working out, the possessions that you have, volunteer projects, your church work, prayer, sleep, things like that. Everything that takes up your time and energy. And some of those things are intangible, like worry, or fear, panic, anxiety, expectations of others, and similar things that take up a lot of our energy, whether we realize it or not. So think about that and put that on your plate. On the other side of your page, what I'd like you to do is draw another plate, a big circle, with the things that you need in your life to give you a sense of abundance and well-being. You can use this period of time when we're in the midst of the pandemic, or you can use a time when your life is fairly whatever you consider normal. What would give you balance in your life? And that's up to you. Maybe things like exercise or solitude, rest, healthier relationships, reading, a hobby, a better diet, and other healthy things that contribute to a sense of abundance. So take this week and add to the plates through the week. Then at some time, you're going to have to sit down with them, look at both sides, and decide whether you need to give some things up on one side in order to have the things you need. And only you can decide what that is. Here's the thing, though. What we need is not unattainable. It's not even rare. However, the things that we need are scarce when we let other things take their place. What is enough for you? What will characterize abundance for you? Whatever it is, that's what Jesus wants for us because he loves us. Ask him. Sit down and spend some time with Jesus. Ask him what you need. We can discern that with Christ's help. Finally, wouldn't it be amazing? And wouldn't it be an amazing world if everyone had what they needed? We pray for this dream to become a reality. May it be so.